Thank you, Robin. Good morning. Happy New Year's Eve. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, page 989 in the little black pew Bibles. Robin sets the order of the songs and he plays that one that really just gets me very emotional before I come up here. The amazing love of God. My birthday is tomorrow. Thank you. To say, as I was growing up in my teen years and 20 through my 20s, I don't remember many of my birthdays. I remember the New Year's Eves, well, mostly, up until probably 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. So to be here, bringing God's word to the people I love, and going to bed at 9 o'clock, and actually remembering my birthday and enjoying it. Even that to say, you know, Fred's famous football feast is on tomorrow, and you're all invited. Well, I hope all of you don't come. I mean, well, it would be good if you came, like, in different sections, but, you know, around noon or 1, Renee will have a spread, and we'll have the football games on, and the pool table will be open, and so you're invited to my birthday that I will not be hungover during. So if you found your way to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 24, and we're going to read 24 through 39. Colossians 1, 24, the very word of our living God. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you on the day before another year comes. And Father, I pray that each of us would look back on this year in 2017 and we would see you involved in our lives. We would see your grace and mercy that has got us through this year, that has grown us through this year. And Father, as we approach now 2017, which starts tomorrow, I pray that the words that you give us today would help us, Father. That your spirit would use your word, and that these truths that we will look at today would be an encouragement to us, Father. They would deepen our faith and our love for you, Father, and they would help us through the next year. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for the ages and generations, now revealed to his saints, to them, to you, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my question for you today is, what is your perspective on life? And really, if you're considering what to change or what to focus on, what you might want to apply to your lives in 2018, then consider this. What is the perspective on life you live? What is the lens in which you see life through? What is the lens in which you see every circumstance in your life? What is the lens that you see things through? For believers, we are to have an eternal perspective on everything. We are to have an eternal perspective on ourselves, and we are to have an eternal perspective on others. First, for me or for us believers, we need to know that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, and we will be like him, and we will be with him forever. That is our perspective. Our perspective is to look at life as being conformed to the image of Christ and the reality that we will be like him and with him forever. That is the perspective we are to see life through. It is this truth, this hope of reality, that draws us and pulls us and helps us endure in our walk. No matter what we are going through, no matter what our circumstance at any given moment, we are to gain strength to endure by believing by grace through faith that this is not our final body and this is not our final home. This eternal promise and reality is to be our perspective. Eternity like Christ and with Christ is the lens in which we should see everything. For believers, we are to have an eternal perspective on everything. So first, for me and us, we are to have an eternal perspective as we view ourselves and our circumstances. Second, now, as we view others, we view them as eternal beings. And they will either spend eternity with us in heaven or helplessly lost in hell. Two choices. And this eternal perspective for their souls, heaven or hell, breaks our hearts. And we have pity and we have compassion on them. This eternal perspective for their souls, heaven or hell, drives us to share the gospel, to share the hope and love we have in Christ with them. It motivates us to share the hidden mystery for the ages, Christ in us. And we bring these two together. If we are truly born again believers in Christ, for us, we will be with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that from happening. That's what we'll look at today. We will be like Christ, and we will be with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that. For them, when God brings others into our paths, we know their souls are at stake. So putting this together, eternal perspective for us and for them. This is the eternal perspective when the car in front of you cuts you off. We are to think of our hope and we are to think of their soul. When our coworker stabs us in the back, we are to think of our hope and their soul. When we break our bones or we contract the virus or just feel blah, we are to think about our hope and we are to think about the souls that are caring for us. We are to have an eternal perspective in all of life, brothers and sisters. And what I want to focus on today is what I said just a moment ago. I said for us, we will be like Christ, and we will be with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that from happening. Do you believe it? You don't have to answer that right now, but you should answer it. If you have truly repented of your sin, if your faith is in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins, you are truly born again then. And you truly are in Christ, then nothing can stop your glorification from happening. Do you believe this? If you don't believe this, deep down inside, believe and live this truth, then you are missing out on what Christian hope is, true hope. And you are missing out on a level of peace and joy that your God, your Father, has intended for you. We could spend weeks studying hope, but let me give you a simple explanation. Hope. We look to the second coming of Jesus to spend eternity with him. And we have hope because God is truly God. And God does what God says. This is why this is not a worldly hope, so hope. This is not a hope I get that job, or I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope my car starts. Listen carefully. Ours is a predetermined and predestined outcome. Get that. Our hope comes in the form of a predetermined and predestined outcome controlled by Almighty God. And we will see in God's word today that our hope is not only rooted in the will of God, it's not only sealed and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit of God, but our hope is also empowered by God. This is the reality of truth that we need to live in. God is God. And he tells us in his word that Jesus is coming again. And he tells us in his word we will be like Jesus and we will be with him forever in heaven. If you are a child of God, then this is our hope. This will happen in his power and for his glory. Our confidence needs to be in him. Our faith needs to be in him, and our hope needs to be in him. He is God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians chapter 1, page 976. And you need to do that. You need to be going there in a Bible because you need to see this for yourselves. Please follow along. This is God's goodness to you. Whether you're a believer or not, his word is his goodness to you. Please follow along. These are his words, not mine. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is God's plan for us, God's people. Much can be and is preached on this, as it should be. We're going to stay focused today, mostly. You know, I did make a New Year's resolution to keep my sermons a little shorter. Unfortunately, we're still in 2017, so it doesn't count now. The plan of God for his people. In God's predetermined and predestined plan for his people, he first wills us to glory. He wills us to glory. That is, he is in control and he does it himself. All himself, it is his will for us to be in glory. In God's predetermined and predestined plan for his people, too, he seals us with the Holy Spirit. And all of this is guaranteed by our God. In God's predetermined and predestined plan for his people, number three, his power is towards us. The power of God is our source. So the hope of glory, one, he wills it, two, he seals it, and three, his power is toward us to complete it. Let's start in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, page 976. Please follow along. Ephesians 1, 1, the very word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pause here. Paul is writing this letter to the saints at Ephesus who are faithful in Christ. This message is from God to those who are faithful in Christ. If you do not have Christ, then this is not for you. This is for believers. This is for those who have Christ in them. Now, if you're not in Christ, and Christ isn't in you, don't be discouraged. Be fearful, but don't be discouraged. Because God's mercy and grace calls out to you right now to repent of your sin and put faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. And then you are saved and you have the hope of Christ in you. Do it now. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. For us saints and faithful in Christ, this is for us. This is the word of God. Cherish these words and hide them in your heart. Let's look at what God has to say to his precious children. We're going to go slow. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Let's hold up there. Here's a side thought. We need to stop. Stop thinking that we are lacking anything in Christ. We have everything in Christ. Everything is ours. Is my prayer for my wife, Renee, dear God, bless Renee, my precious wife? Or is it, oh dear God, thank you for giving Jesus Renee. Open her eyes to see the blessings she's already has in Christ. May your spirit give her strength in her inner being to know and believe and experience all that she already has in you. We need to stop thinking we lack anything in Christ and start knowing and believing that Christ is everything and he is ours. If we want to abide in him and experience him more, then we need to renew our minds and realize that we already are blessed in Christ. Okay, onward. Let's focus on verses 4 and 5. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. According to the purpose of his will. These two verses not only summarize the plan of God, they reveal the will of God as well. According to the purpose of his will. Let's look at these two verses closely. This is the word of God. This is pure truth. This is simple, clear truth. Look first at our hope in verse 5. You need to see these are God's words and not mine. Verse 5, he what? What's the next word? He predestined us for adoption as sons. Verse 5, predestined us. And now, how long have we saints and faithful in Christ been destined to be adopted sons of God? How long? Look back at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him. When? Let's read this part out loud together. Even as he chose us in him. Ready? Go. Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Okay, we're not done with 4 and 5 yet. Let's put them back together in order, and I want you to see the first point. Remember it? In God's predetermined, predestined plan for his people, he wills us to glory. God wills it. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to what? The purpose of his will. According to the purpose of his will, God wills our glory. And in verse 6, we'll see it is by God's grace and God's glory. The following verses will give more detail of his plan and how it was accomplished. and we'll see more of God's grace and glory. Follow along as we read verses 6 through 12. Watch for the will of God, the grace of God, the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, this is God's plan for us. We'll start in verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to be adopted sons and daughters. He gave us Jesus Christ to be in him, to be in Christ, holy and blameless before God. And he did it because he loves us. And he lavished his grace upon us. Listen, it is only by his grace that we are his children. There is nothing we have done. It is all God. It is his plan. It is his will. It is his love. It is his son that died. And it is his grace lavished upon us. This is why we praise him. Dear God, I don't know why you love me and I'm your child. There's absolutely nothing I have done to deserve this. But thank you and praise you. You have given me life and I am your child forever. These are truths that move us to worship and praise our God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wills it. God wills it. Our eternal perspective is driven by the will of God. And next we'll see number two, God seals it. God seals it. Verse 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, this is why we need to slow down in Scripture. Look back at verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, the moment you heard and believed the gospel, you were what? You were sealed. Sealed. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And in case you don't get it, in case we don't understand, he goes on in verse 14, who is the guarantee? The guarantee of our inheritance. How long? Until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The mystery of the ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. If our faith is in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, then we are forgiven and we are cleansed of all of our sins, past, present, and future. And we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And we are sealed. And our inheritance is guaranteed until we acquire it. To the praise of his glory. The hope of glory, number one, God wills it. Number two, God seals it. Our eternal perspective is sealed by God. And now number three, God's power. Let's look onward in our passage, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let's stop here, and I want to take a reality check. Paul is praying that the Father of glory gives them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation of him, Christ. Paul is praying that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. We are going to see what Paul is praying for them to see and understand. But why is he praying this? Why is he praying to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? Why is he praying this? Why does Paul pray for the eyes to be enlightened and hearts to be enlightened? Why? Well, earlier I told you that this message is for believers, and it is. These are truths of the kingdom of God. These are kingdom of God truths that we're looking at. People of the world cannot see these truths. They can't. And I dare say carnal Christians, those who are caught up in the world, will have a hard time as well. That is why Paul is praying for them in this passage. Brothers and sisters, we need to mature in Christ. We need to move on to the meat of God's word and grow in Christ. These truths we are looking at are God's reality. We need to move out of the darkness of deception and into the kingdom of light of the Son of God. If you are born again, then the Spirit of God is within you, and he is testifying of this truth to you. Renew your minds and receive the word of God as what it really is, the word of God and not the word of men. The word of God is at work in you believers. Paul prays this because he knows the only way we can get the understanding that we need to have a proper eternal perspective is by the power of the Holy Spirit in us to reveal it to us. Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts are spiritually discerned. Let's go back to Ephesians and see what he prays for them to know. Remember where we are now, the hope of glory. God wills it, God seals it, and now we're going to look at God's power toward us. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, that you may know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. In verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. So Paul prays for three things, three realities. First, the hope to which he has called us. Open their eyes, open their hearts so they can see the hope to which you have called you. Two is the inheritance, the glorious inheritance in the saints. And three, look at it, verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Paul says, open their eyes so they can see the power that is toward them. The power of God toward us. The power of God is toward us who believe. Paul prays for the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened, to know this immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe. Please pray this for me. I pray it for you. I pray that you have the eyes of your hearts enlightened to know the hope to which God has called you. I pray for you to know the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and I pray for you to know the immeasurable greatness of his power that is towards you. I pray that for you. Please, pray that for me. And pray that for each other. Let's look at this power. Paul says this power is great. How great? Immeasurably great. He's saying it's such great power you can't even measure it. Can't even measure how great it is. But he gives an example. Let's read the rest of this, starting in verse 19. Remember, Paul prayed for them to have the eyes of their hearts open to know, verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God's immeasurable great power. How does one explain or reveal the power of the living God? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. It's simply not possible to measure the greatness of his power. Scholars put a term on this. They call it omnipotent. That doesn't help me. What we can do is what Paul did. Let's look at God's work as we know it. And it starts at the cross of Christ, where the Son of God is spit on and beaten and humiliated. And the Son of God is nailed to the cross and killed. And he's buried dead in the ground. Not video game dead, but dead. Defeat seemed to be reality. The people had won. Satan had prevailed. Our Savior, our Lord, our God is dead in the ground. But God, according to the working of his great might, not only raised him from the dead, but he lifted him up above everything else and seated him at his right hand. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee and every tongue will confess. The one that was dead is now alive and he reigns. At the cross of Christ, we see the love of God. In the resurrection, we see the power of God. And here's the hope of the power of God. When Jesus comes again, he's not coming as a lamb to be slain. When Jesus comes again, he will come as a lion to reign. And he will come in all of his glory, and he will come in all of his power, and we will experience the reality of who we will become in him. And this will happen because it is the will of God, it is guaranteed by God, and it is the power of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need to live with an eternal perspective. And to do this, we need to know and believe that our destiny is set by God and is in control by God. Our hope isn't a worldly hope, so. It is hope in God. God who wills us from the foundation of the world to be predestined in Christ, to be like Christ, and to be with him forever. It is hope in God. God who saved us at the cross of Christ, and when we believed, cleansed us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. hope in a God who has in his mighty power raised Jesus from the dead to his right hand and directs that resurrection power towards us who believe. This is not a hope so hope. This is reality in Christ. We need to know and believe it. I want to look at one more passage and we'll be done. Turn to Romans 8. This is my favorite, well, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. I want you to watch for the hope. It is in the control of God. It is the will of God. And it is the power of God. Romans 8, 23 through 30. Again, this is the very word of our God and his goodness to us. Verse 23 of chapter 8 of Romans. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom God predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is nothing new. This is not some secret passage that Fred, or some secret pill that Fred came up with. This is the Word of God. These things are spiritually discerned and understood. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then they will start to make sense and they'll start to take a hold of you, renewing your minds and conforming you to the image of the Son of God. This is God's predestined plan for you. These words, these truths are the plan and will of God. They are the hope of being like him and being with him forever. These words, these truths are the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm going to close by reading, finishing this passage, starting in verse 28. We're going to read through 39 and then we'll pray. And this time, just watch for the love of God and the power of his love for you in Christ. Romans 8, 28 through 39, and we'll be done. Verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is seated at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you that this is your word. Thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy and your grace to provide us with these truths. Not just so we have knowledge, but so we have faith, and so we have love, and so that our lives reflect the love we have for you in these realities. I do pray for each in this room, Father, for those that don't know you. May this be the day of salvation, Father, as they fall on their knees and they humble their hearts before you and pray to you for forgiveness for their sins, Father, and they trust and have faith in Christ. May they do that even now, Father. And I pray for your children, those that know you, those that have Christ in you. Father, I pray that these words of truth would sink deeply into their souls and have an amazing, tremendous effect on their emotions, on their lives, on what they do and how they serve and how they walk and how they shine the light of Christ. So I pray that fruit comes from your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.